RNZ Pacific News, kia ora, I'm Marama Tipole. Samoa's Prime Minister Fiame Naomi Mataafa says issues are dealt differently in Parliament as opposed to traditional village councils. A formal complaint by Deputy Prime Minister Tuala Iosefo Ponivasio led to a report with a recommendation of suspension of Samoa's Human Rights Protection Party leader Tuila Epa Sa'ilele Malielingaoi and the party's secretary Leala Ilipule Rimoni Ayafi. Deputy Opposition Leader Fonotoe Lauofo, Pierre Lauofo, and HRPP members had urged the Speaker to defer the debate on the report until Tuila Epa was able to attend to defend himself. Political journalist Tuia Sau Welese Petaia says the suspension has surprised many Samoans who are used to seeing issues being dealt within village settings.
In this case, there's been no chance of that at all, with the PM saying that Parliament is different from decision making at village level, at family matai meeting level.
The Solomon Islands opposition leader Matthew Wale has again raised concerns at the secrecy surrounding links with Beijing. The Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi is visiting the Solomons today and is expected to sign a host of new agreements, including the security pact that has sparked anger in the United States, Australia and New Zealand. Mr. Wale says only a few top aides know what's in the agreements. He says there is no justification for the secrecy. Mr. Wale says Solomon Islands is a democratic country owned by the people and they're entitled to know what's being transacted in their name. A veteran Kiribati journalist says there's no doubt a security pact between Beijing and Tarawa is imminent after confirmation that a high-level Chinese government delegation will visit tomorrow. Speaking to RNZ Pacific from Tarawa, Rimon Rimon says the signing of security agreement between Solomon Islands and China is just a preview of what is about to happen in his own country. But Mr. Rimon says a deal with Kiribati has more significance for China, as Beijing has already demonstrated its willingness to develop Canton Island, which has strategic military potential.
And I think China is pursuing that. I think our government is quite reluctant on something military-wise, based on the narrative that the government has been saying throughout the years. But I have no doubt this is the number one thing on China's agenda. And how our government will respond to that I have no idea of that.
Papua New Guinea's People's National Congress is shaping up as the party to watch as the country's general election approaches. Nominations are set to finish later today, with campaigning then in earnest through to early July when voting starts. The People's National Congress, or PNC, is led by Peter O'Neill, who lost the prime ministership to James Marape in 2019. The party, of which Mr. Marape was also once a member, had dominated PNG politics for the previous 8 years. Our PNG correspondent Scott Wade says the PNC has endorsed more than 90 candidates, which it creates a force to reckon with.
90 candidates all over the country means that there's a higher possibility of PNC, you know, backing on its chances to get a lot more members into Parliament. Pangu has also put out a list of candidates, surprisingly a lot of women in the Pangu group, at least five, I think.
A researcher is suggesting the Tongan government consider repurposing land where resorts on the western side of Tongatapu were completely wiped out. Researchers have finished mapping the mouth of the underwater Tongan volcano that in January produced Earth's biggest atmospheric explosion over a century. Their report, released earlier this week, assesses the eruption and makes recommendations for future resilience. University of Auckland volcanologist and research lead Shane Cronin says there is also a resettlement scheme to help people relocate to Ewa Island.
In places like Ha'apai, so some people from the island of Mango, there's a big resettlement scheme for those people to relocate onto the island of Ewa, onto high ground. And that's the sort of thing needs to be thought about. You know, other people living in low-lying areas, you know, what are the alternatives in the future?
17 people who had been missing at sea in Solomon Islands for 3 days were rescued by an Australian Navy ship on Monday. The missing, who included a number of officers from the Royal Solomon Islands Police Force, had been travelling on a police vessel which broke down while travelling to Gizul. They were rescued by HMAS Ararat. The RSPF says it's still trying to discover what happened to their craft. The New Zealand Prime Minister has told US senators she believes gun reform can happen in America. Democratic Party Senator John Ossoff is among those again calling for reform after yesterday's killing of 19 children and two teachers at a Texas school. When he met Jacinda Ardern in Washington this morning, Mr. Ossoff praised changes New Zealand made after the Christchurch massacres. Ms. Ardern told him change is possible.
Even on the most difficult of political issues, when you have will amongst your people, then change is possible. And we saw that in New Zealand. I think that had we not made the changes we did, the New Zealand public would have called for it.
Jacinda Ardern again expressed deep sympathy for the families of the victims in Texas. The spate of gang-related gun violence in Auckland and New Zealand has sparked calls for stronger action to protect communities. Two more houses were fired at last night in the suburbs of Massey and Mallows Bay. That makes 13 attacks since Sunday, seven of them Tuesday night alone in Ōtara, Papatoetoe, Flatbush, Papakura, Te Aratu, Henderson and Mount Albert. The co-leader of the new Conservative Party, South Auckland lawyer Ted Johnson, says the government needs to show it does not tolerate this kind of behaviour. He says gangs should be treated like terrorist organisations. Artificial intelligence cameras will be installed on New Zealand's commercial fishing boats from August. The plan is that by the end of 2024, up to 300 inshore vessels will have been fitted with the cameras, which can detect net setting or hauling. The Fisheries Minister, David Parker, says the technology can be used to monitor fish dumping.
This is a new way of policing it, which then enables us to change some of the fishing rules in a way that make it easier also for the fishers to comply with the rules because they're a bit less complex. So it works together as a package to get better outcomes.
The first cameras will be installed on trawl and set net boats off the North Island's west coast. Britain's Prime Minister Boris Johnson says he accepts full responsibility after a report into parties held in government buildings during COVID-19 lockdowns criticised leadership failings. But Mr. Johnson insists he did not mislead Parliament. Rob Watson has more.
The report says many of the gatherings were not in line with COVID restrictions and blames them on failures of leadership and judgment in 10 Downing Street and beyond. In response to the report, Boris Johnson apologised, but said the gatherings had to be seen in context, given how many thousands of people work in government and how few of the events were found to have broken regulations. He also insisted he had not misled MPs when he previously told Parliament no regulations had been broken. But crucially, few of his own Conservative MPs have spoken out against him.
The US pharmaceutical giant Pfizer says it will sell all its current and future patented drugs at non-profit prices to the world's poorest countries. The company's chief executive, Albert Bowler, says 45 countries will benefit. The BBC's Samira Hussain says the move is in part a response to pressure from shareholders.
They did face a lot of criticism during the pandemic because they were profiting from COVID vaccines that they were selling to those more disadvantaged nations. We're just seeing a lot more shareholders wanting to see the company that they are a part of do more good work around the world. This is something that you're seeing in a lot of different companies, whether it be the way that they are forcing their companies to embrace better labor rules, or in this case, helping out those that are in need.
In sports now, Novak Djokovic claimed a straight sets victory over Slovakia's Alex Molchan in the French Open second round to keep his title defence on track. Women's world number one Iga Swiatek also advanced, but teenage US Open champion Emma Raducanu was beaten. New Zealand doubles players Michael Venus and Erin Routliffe won their respective first round matches. Auckland golfer Ryan Fox is straight back into action after his disappointing finish to the PGA Championship. Fox fired a final round 7 over par to ruin his tournament in Oklahoma, but will play the Dutch Open this weekend as he attempts to secure his place in the next major next month's US Open.
It was that kind of golf course. If you're a little bit off, you got your ass kicked pretty quickly, and that happened, and it was one bad round of golf and pretty much the last 20 rounds of golf since I've been back out, and it was always going to happen, just a shame it happened on a major championship Sunday.
That's RNZ Pacific News and Sport. You can listen to and read more online on rnzi.com.